The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we're back. Second half of the show, live and presumably in living color. Let's give you an update from Omaha. Texas A&M taking on Oklahoma in an elimination game. And the Aggies are now eliminated. Oklahoma moving on. Arkansas and Ole Miss later tonight. Must-win game for the Razorbacks. We mentioned the Ring of Honor. This is the first time we've ever done this. And eligible for induction in 2022. We have a list of candidates that will now be unveiled. We have Bobby from Birmingham, one of the all-time great callers. Chris from Gulf Shores. I-Man. Jim from Crestwood, a legendary caller. Legend. Jerome. Shane. Squirrel. And Tammy. And we'll get some reaction to that. We'll have the winners of that at some point in the coming months. We do not know exactly when that will be revealed. More of your phone calls now. And let's check out Steve in Georgia. Hello, Steve.
Paul, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, great, great. Paul,
all-timer.
How in the world can you keep Handsome Joe off that list?
I agree. I mean, he will get in there. He's certainly a Charleston real town. Those who didn't make it are epic. But this is for the first ever Ring of Honor. Only a handful can be nominated and chosen, and he'll be on the next list.
Well, Paul, let me just, of course, I want a couple of comments. Well, I want to tell you about the greatest Georgia game I saw. But anyway, the thing that my opinion about Joe from Red Bay, first of all, I thought, well, Red Bay's on the coast somewhere, you know, but typical of Alabama, Red Bay's up in the north part of the state. So I found where Red Bay was, but Paul, the things that's so outstanding about Handsome Joe is his creativity. Now, you know, our man's good, but he didn't have the creativity that Joe does. I mean, to come up with a swirly, I mean, that takes a lot of creativity and ingenuity to come up with that, a swirly. So anyway, that's why I think he's a good caller. But, Paul, the couple of games that just, I mean, I've been, season ticket holder since 58, 59, something like that. But in the 50s, Georgia was getting beat quite often, especially by Georgia Tech. And I sat in Grantville, November the 27th, 1957, and watched Theron Sapp break the drought. And Georgia beat Tech 7-0. That was a big game because we'd lost Tech 7 years in a row. The other game that was big was when Francis Tarkenton threw a touchdown pass to Aaron Box in the corner of the end zone at Sanford Stadium, and Georgia and Duard Pennington kicked the extra point, and Georgia beat Auburn 14-13 to win the SEC championship. And that's the first championship they'd had for at least 10 or 15 years. So anyway, those were just, to me, I've seen a lot of Georgia football, but those two games right there were so significant because it had such a long losing streak prior, you know, anything significant happened prior to that. So anyway, that's my
thank you very much, Steve. You be well and glad to hear from you. David is next in Little Rock. Hello, David.
Woo pig, Paul. Where's your hog hat today?
It's right under the desk.
Hey, you get to follow any team football season this year. ESPN's going to put you on the bus, relieve you of your show. Who are you going to follow around?
Ooh. That's a good question.
Exciting team.
I like that question.
You get to go out and just enjoy it.
So just go to every game, right, as a fan?
One team. Pick one team, okay. Home and away.
Let me marinate on that one. And what would you do, Randy? Any team in particular?
No,
Oh, no, pigs. I mean, I think they're going to BYU. They got Cincinnati at home. They play in the West. You got the excitement of 10 years of losses. I think that's going to be a good one. You probably are going to look at Georgia again, maybe.
Yeah.
Tennessee seems like they're going to probably have an up year.
They would be exciting, yeah. I am going to think about that question because I'm not. I know I can't. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. I got another one for you.
I will be in Fayetteville one weekend. I can tell you that.
Well, we're not playing Texas there. Which one you picking, Alabama?
I don't know. I think the first one is under consideration against Miami.
Yeah.
I haven't heard
Cincinnati,
from my
yeah.
boss. I think that's a possibility. Alabama is always a possibility. Yeah. And those would probably be the two that we are looking at. Depends on what else is going on.
Hey, if you've got a coach is going to retire, whoever the next football coach in the SEC, who's that going to be?
Okay, let's think about it. Now, you say retire of his own volition?
Exactly.
Oh.
He picks, and he's not. He gets to say, you know what? It's just kind of been good, and I've had a good road.
Okay. Well,
I'm not forced out.
Yeah.
You know,
let's look at who is even a contender to technically retire. The two oldest coaches would be Kelly and Saban, I think, and then you have Leach probably, and then maybe Mark Stoops. I mean, it's too obvious to say Saban, but I would have to say Saban.
Yeah, not Kentucky, maybe?
Yeah, I still think Stoops has some more. I mean, Stoops is – I think Stoops is still in his 50s.
He's still got some fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he's – and I don't think Kelly's retiring. He just got a $10 million deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it's for – I think Saban is the most obvious to – retire on his own.
Well, let's get you on that hog bus and we'll
okay.
get you around the conference.
Count me in. I had a great time there last year. Always have a good time in Fayetteville. Mike is in Nebraska. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, great. Hey, before I give you my best sports moment, I did want to tell you I watch all the conference networks, and there is no question, like that previous caller said, the SEC Network puts out the best in-house content, and it's not even close. My favorite moment was, and I think we all tend to remember sports and music from our youth better than it is currently, and for Nebraska, this is really the case, but Johnny Rogers' punt return against Oklahoma in the so-called game of the century.
That was phenomenal. Yeah, that was a great
– And what made it so good was that the game lived up to its hype. You know, it had everything, came down to the end. A lot of times these one versus two games are anticlimactic, and that was good. And I was living in Iowa at the time, and by about the third game of the year, everyone knew it was going to come down to those two teams. And that's all anyone talked about, even in Iowa. And so the buildup was unlike anything I've seen.
Now, Mike, that game wasn't that game on Thanksgiving Day, and if I remember correctly,
yes, it absolutely was. And nobody blowing on the field with those two. Colorado finished third, and I don't know that they were third. Alabama fourth. Nebraska killed them in the Orange Bowl. So it was those two teams and everyone else. And I think that played into what made the moment so good.
Yeah, Mike, you had an interesting – thank you very much. That was a famous weekend, and I think I got this correct. I wasn't in Alabama by a long stretch, but I've heard about this. You had Nebraska and Oklahoma, I believe that – yeah, they played on Thanksgiving Day. It was a game of the century. And then Alabama-Auburn played on Saturday. I think both may have been undefeated. I know Alabama was undefeated. So the winner – of the Alabama-Auburn game was going to face the winner of the Oklahoma-Nebraska game in the Orange Bowl for the national championship. The losers would play each other, which was not that big a deal. And Alabama won the game and ultimately played Nebraska. And it was easily Paul Bryant's worst big game he's ever had. I think it was 38-6. I mean, it was just a pasting. By one of the great teams of all time. We'll take a short break. That was only 51 years ago. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, Mitch is calling next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. First, let me say, Steve that called a few minutes ago, and he was saying that our man doesn't have creativity. All his calls I'm not a fan of, but that call today was full of creativity.
It was.
I mean, he come out with some stuff that make you want to shake your head.
His hair was on fire. Isn't that what people say?
Yeah. Well, something was on fire. He lit a fire.
I didn't say which hair on his body was on fire. I just said his hair was on fire.
I said something. That's all I said. Are we talking about game or just a single play?
Mitch, we're talking about whatever you remember.
It's going to blow your mind. I guarantee you, you can't guess my most exciting play.
Guarantee you, I can't.
I guarantee it. It was the kick six.
I would not have guessed that. I had you down for Hunter Renfrow.
That's probably my second or third.
Okay.
The reason is
probably one of my least favorite plays in college football history.
Do you know why the
Deshaun Watson Hunter Renfrow play is one of my least favorite?
Because it was
an illegal play. It shouldn't have counted. Clemson should not have won the national championship. It's illegitimate. I refuse to recognize that. And don't start accusing me of the big lie, okay?
What did I lie? What did I accuse you of?
I was speaking to the audience.
Oh. I'm not one of those Clemson fans. Let me clear that up. I know how you feel.
I tell you what, I don't want to start up with Clemson fans. That was last week, Mitch. But, man, you got some folks without a sense of humor at your school.
I let my team speak for itself. I don't care about the jousting between y'all. But
I'm going to find a new foil. I'm done with Clemson.
Well, okay. We got room for somebody else.
Yeah. Try it.
I got a question for you. If you could pick one offense and one defense to play each other, do you know which that would be?
Probably. I would probably like to see the Joe Burrow LSU offense play the Georgia defense of last year.
That's my offense, and you won't.
I know who is going to win the game.
You gonna pick Georgia's defense?
I'm gonna pick Georgia absolutely because I think Ed Orgeron will screw it up.
I wanted to see the 2012 Alabama defense.
Well, yeah, nobody was gonna stop that defense, but one guy.
So I wanted to see LSU with Joe Burrow against 2012.
Yeah, that defense was really good. I think it's you're quibbling over which one was better. Well, Mitch, thank you very, very much. Swami is up next.
Well, hey, wild ass.
Ooh, I haven't been called that in a long time, man. That's making me feel young.
Big guy. I'm sorry, Paul. Big
no,
guy.
No, well, that's fine. That's fine. I've had both call. I've been called both.
I thought I heard that a little earlier today. But, Paul, I want to talk about your alma mater, if I could.
Tennessee? Sure.
I'm sure you probably talked about it, but Swami had some things going on in his life probably at that time.
Okay.
About this cancellation,
I'm talking in third person here. I like that.
About this Tennessee Army game that got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me get this straight, Paul. They're still going to recognize the newest Congressional Medal winners honors at Tennessee with Akron on the field instead of Army, correct,
I
on that date?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, we're talking about a stadium that, you know, was named after General Nealon, you know, an Army general here.
Not Private Nealon, and, but General Nealon.
Yes, and we're having Akron on the field instead of, Army, you know.
That is correct.
There's probably not 50 living Congressional Medal of Honor winners today that would probably be in that stadium at that time. He just smells to high heaven, Swami.
Yeah, I agree with you. We had some people on and talked about that. I think it was a terrible decision, but sometimes you just have to move on.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, you have a great night.
Thank you, Swami. And not being critical, I agree with you, but that conversation was, what, about 9 months ago?
Yeah.
Swami's got some things going on in Swami's life. I'd like to know what Salami's got. Salami. Swami. Maybe he's got a salami going on in his life. Let's check out Don in Birmingham.
Hey, Paul. Always a good show.
Thank you.
Enjoy the show all the time. Don't be too hard on the Swami there. Let me ask one thing real quick on your Ring of Honor, and I do realize you're going to add people later. Was Phyllis mentioned? I did not hear the whole list.
I don't think she was on that list.
She's not on it. Okay. I think
and by the way, this won't be the only list, but this is just this list.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Let me correct something real quick that you mentioned.
And by the
earlier.
Way, if we realize we've made a grievous error, we are big enough to add or subtract. Would you, Jamari, is that correct? Yeah, we're flexible. I mean, we can kick Chris from Gulf Shores off, and he probably wouldn't even know it because I'm on my 18th beer. Am I on that list or not?
You got to keep Crazy Chris. I call him Crazy Chris. I love him. He doesn't call back.
Larry's not on that. Where is my question is, where is Larry on that list? Oh,
Larry.
What's up with Larry? Yeah, I mean, there's some. I see one person. I see two people that could go from that list right there.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
How did Squirrel make that list? Just kidding, of course.
Yeah, I know you don't have too much time. Let me get on to my greatest sports moment. Let me correct the thing that you mentioned earlier from the 1980 season. I go to a lot of games. I didn't go to any of these. Mississippi State lost 3-6. 2 weeks later, Notre Dame shuts out Alabama at Legion.
Right.
In between those, in 1980, oddly enough, Alabama plays, it's amazing what you can find at RollTide.com, Alabama plays LSU in Tuscaloosa, of all places. That may have been one of the, I'll have to look back and see if that's one of the early times they played in T-Town during that era. They beat them 28-7. And so there was a game in between those.
Okay.
But my dad went to that Notre Dame game. My big moment, like I had a lot of early moments with Alabama. My dad took me to the Alabama-Auburn game in 61, the year they won their first championship under. And it was crazy. I was 7 years old. Don't remember a lot about it. It was just, you know, kind of overwhelmed by the moment. One of my big moments as a, you know, late teenager was playing up at your home stadium, Alabama, in 72, going up there, and I go with my sister, older sister, and her new husband of a year, who was a big UT fan, and Alabama comes back in a game that should have been at best a tie to beat a Condridge Holloway-led Tennessee team.
Oh, wow.
17-10. And that was my first game. I'm undefeated at Neyland. So I'm going to have to go to some more. I'm sure I'll finally lose one before I'm done. I just turned 68. But that was a big moment for me. I've been to a lot of the Tua moment four or five years ago.
Sure.
Winning that game was big. But I'm looking forward to the season. I want to go out and see Alabama in Austin, trying to handle the Texans and UT there. But it's going to be hot as blazes, so I don't know if my 68-year-old body can handle.
Oh, you got to think young, Don. You're not. Just think about this. You're 11 years younger. You're 11 years younger than the president of the United States.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, he's got a tough job. I mean, other than he's done remarkably well, other than falling off of that bike the other day.
Yeah.
I don't think Biden's a Tour de France candidate this year. Do you?
Yeah, I think you'll have to pass.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Hey, you take care of yourself. Let's check out Zach. Zach in North Carolina. Hello, Zach. It's okay. I mean, I was having fun with the guy. I mean, he shouldn't be riding bikes at that age. Go ahead, Zach.
I want to tell you thank you for what you say about Clemson. I'm a Georgia fan, and if we play Clemson's schedule every year, I would be bragging about winning national championships too. I get sick and tired of hearing about we're the best, we're to be in the top four. You can play Georgia Tech. You can play Carolina. You can play Duke. You play all these weak teams, but you think we should recognize you for being the best.
No. And that's why Clemson has won twice the national championship, but when they haven't even washed their uniforms by the final game of the year.
No, Dabo makes every excuse. I get sick and tired of turning on TV, and he's making an excuse about this, about that, about the NIL.
How about this opening game at Georgia Tech and then Furman, what, the Citadel wasn't available? Louisiana Tech. I mean, is there a more pathetic opening three games of the season than that?
I would kill for that, Paul, as a Georgia fan. I would die for that schedule. We open up with Oregon this year.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon is a top 10 team.
Yes. It's ridiculous. I just want to thank you for what you say about Clemson.
Well, nothing personal. It's a great place once you find it.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great place. It's a great place to watch a game, but my God.
I mean, I tell you about – Zach, did I tell you about my first trip to Clemson about 9 years ago? I just started here. The SEC Network had not begun, and Georgia was playing at Clemson on the opening weekend, and I was with game day that year. So I drove over to Clemson at night after the show. We were only on the radio, and I just assumed GPS would get me there. It doesn't. I mean, all of a sudden you're like on a dark road, and you literally think you're at the you have reached the abyss. I mean, that you're looking down, and if you go another 10 feet, you're falling off the earth. I mean, it was scary.
Oh yeah, it's definitely an awkward place to get to and to get out of.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I had some people help me get to we had to be at our location at 6 a.m. It wasn't as difficult. I just followed some people, but I'm trying to find this Motel 6, the 5-star Motel 6 in Clemson on a Friday night was really challenging. Hey, thank you for the call. We are heading to the break. Again, a reminder that A&M lost today 5-1 to Oklahoma. Arkansas and Ole Miss later tonight. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. Mark is calling next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I see everybody's beating up on Clemson.
I got a quick sure, go ahead.
I got a quick real life story. It's an old story. I played football at North Carolina, graduated in the late 70s, but the coaches used to tell us when we got, and this was not a joke, when we played in Clemson, they said, when you're running off the field, don't take your helmet off and be aware of what's coming out of the stands. And that was not a joke. There were ice cubes and
that is
little
interesting.
Miniature bottles, and you would get pelleted with a lot of stuff. So we're winning at halftime, running off for halftime, and I made sure to keep my helmet on and had a couple pings, and all of a sudden I hear this female voice that's just, I probably have never heard more curse words, and I mean the worst words you can think of, in about 20 to 30 words, but I thought, well, I got to take a peek. She's only two rows up, and she's probably going to be not that attractive, and you know, you can imagine what you think you'd see. So I look up, and I mean, here's this very attractive mid-aged lady, wonderfully dressed, and just cussing like a sailor. I thought only in Clemson, you know.
That is funny.
They were just a crazy group to go to.
It hasn't
what
changed.
What people say is true about that crowd.
Yeah, no, it's. I've been there more recently, as you may have as well. It's the same. That's just the culture of that fan base.
Well, I couldn't resist to throw a story in there. That's all I really wanted to call about.
Well, Mark, thank you. Really appreciate it. What a great story. That was interesting, to say the least. Former UNC player. Let's check out Will in Austin. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. This second time caller, and I appreciate you taking it.
Thank you.
I'm going to go way back, and you, I'm guessing, were like in elementary school. Do you remember the Orange Bowl with Joe Namath and Alabama against Texas? They had like Tommy Nobis.
Yeah, I only remember it because I've interviewed Namath about the play that you're referring to.
Well, I haven't referred to it yet, but that was going to come up.
I think I know what it is.
My question is, I think that game, I was like in seventh grade, was the first night game of the bowl rotation.
Right.
And I think the Orange Bowl made a big production. I remember that was also the first game I ever watched on color TV, and I was going, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Color TVs were a big deal back in the 60s.
It was unbelievable. And anyway, so the famous Namath, who, what's ironic about it, Texas got ahead 21-0. Steve Sloan, I think, was quarterbacking Alabama in the first half. I think Namath was hurt.
Yeah.
And then Namath came in the second half, and they scored. They got 21-17. He could not be stopped. And then they got down there, and it, depending on which team you were for, he didn't make it or he did make it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are people to this day who swear it's one of those. This was long before replay. Thank you for calling. I interviewed Namath one time not long after I got to Alabama, and I don't remember why this play was, but he was at an event and we were talking about this famous play, and I remember he said I definitely got in, and I said, well, it was the only time. I was writing an article about it. So it was the only time in Joe Namath's career at Alabama when he tried that he failed to score. And I wasn't talking about the goal line. Let's continue. Charlie is in Mississippi. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. Can I get a big old hottie-totty?
Hottie-totty. Let's go.
Hey, last team into the NCAA tournament, and we can win tonight. We'll be in the National Championship Series. It's crazy.
It really is.
Tonight.
I haven't. Tell me who's. I have not really kept up with the pitching for tonight. What is? I would think Ole Miss is a little.
We have Elliott pitching tonight, lefty, and Arkansas only averages like a 250 batting average.
Okay.
Lefty, so.
I mean, I don't. I mean, I am not a baseball expert. That's why we have people who are. But you know, watching these games where the teams have been around too long, the pitching tends to get to them a little bit. And you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
You saw that with A&M today. I like Ole Miss. I thought Arkansas was going to win it before the tournament, but
yeah,
it would be impossible to say anybody's playing better than Ole Miss.
Yeah, and Bianco, I mean, he's about to get fired in the season, and he's been a.
I mean, Charlie, tell me this, because I've known him moderately well. I mean, how serious was his future looking if they had failed to make Hoover?
Just from word of mouth and social media, it wasn't looking good for him. I think he's a great coach. He's built that program. I think it would probably have been a mistake if they did get rid of him. Obviously, look at
right.
what he's doing now. So. I'm glad he's getting a run that he deserves.
I mean, how ironic would that be, a year after Mississippi State, to have Ole Miss win while they're home?
Exactly. Oh, the Mississippi State fans, they just can't even stand. They won't even talk about it if you mention it.
Well, I want to say this. I happen to really like both coaches. I'm a big fan. Van Horn and I, at this point, you're just watching it from a pure entertainment standpoint, but it's a critical game. I think with Oklahoma well-rested playing this afternoon and not having to play for a couple of days, it would be important to get this out of the way. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Tom in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are well. Thank you.
I am. Well, I'm walking contagion, so it's best that I'm on the phone.
Good.
yeah. Well, there are two football games from the last 50, 60 years that I think that I encountered or heard about or whatever. The first was in 1971 when Southern Cal played Alabama in Birmingham.
Right.
And beat the Tide like a drum. And Sam Cunningham just went wild that night. And what was so amazing and what was ultimately had such an impact on Southern football was obviously it was an integrated team coming from Los Angeles into Legion Field and playing Alabama like it did. Now, Bear Bryant would never, ever put up with a loss. No way am I going to suggest that, but he had to have seen in real time what that game was doing is what he knew the future of college football was going to be like playing out on that field, and suddenly the whole state got to see it real up front and personal. The other game was in 72.
Yeah, by the way, Tom, that game was the first Southern Cal game. The Legion Field game was in Birmingham, and that was 1970. The 71 game was
70.
was the Wishbone game out in California.
Right. Okay, I got it just a little bit early then.
Okay, we're talking about 1 year, 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm to the point now that an extra year is important.
I hear you.
But anyway.
I like yeah. that, by the way. I have to use that one.
Yeah, you can use that one.
Yeah.
The other one is one I saw. I was in grad school at T-Town in 72, and Alabama was playing Auburn in Legion Field again. And it was punt, Bama, punt. And this was two block punts in the last.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was 72.
5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes. It was absolutely crazy. And
Tom, if you remember, it was the same player who blocked it and the same player who I think took it in.
Yeah. I'm sure that player was in Bear Bryant's nightmares for years to come. Certainly was in the nightmares of the poor punter.
I think the punter's name was Greg Gann. I interviewed him once, and I brought it up, and I thought he was going to take a swing at me.
Yeah, he was probably a little bit
Tom, until the – thanks for the call. We're up against the break. Until the kick six, that was the most famous play or combination of plays. It's just extraordinary to think about two consecutive times down – not only block a punt, but block a punt for a touchdown to win 17-16. We are heading to a break, probably later than we should have, but we're heading it nevertheless.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we are followed tonight by Out of Pocket. Dre and Alyssa look ahead to tomorrow's 50th anniversary of Title IX. And back to the calls here, and let's check out John, who is up next. Hey, John.
Paul, thank you for having me back on your show again. And
thank you.
I actually just wanted to tell you about my favorite experience in SEC football. So,
please.
On Christmas Day, 1997, I woke up and my dad gave me a big orange Tennessee jacket. And I was like, Dad, thanks so much. It really means so much. And he's like, hey, check the pocket. So I checked the pockets, and there was actually a ticket in there for the Tennessee Northwestern game, January 1st. 1998, which was actually Peyton Manning's last game. It was really hot. It was January 1st, but it felt like a summer. It was like 90, 91 degrees. And
that game was in Orlando, wasn't it?
It was in Orlando.
Yeah.
And we made the trip up from near West Palm Beach to go up there. And the game itself, well, you know, Tennessee won pretty comfortably, but it's who you spend the time with that makes the most memorable. And you know, of course, you didn't really realize the NFL career Peyton would have, but knowing to go back to actually say that I got to see Peyton Manning play is actually quite amazing. So,
John, that's great. I mentioned this many hours ago. You know, somebody said, "What's the best memory you've ever had?" And it was almost the same story. I was 9 or 10 years old, going to my first big game with my dad. I mean, those are the moments that live forever.
It is, and you know, as more time goes by, you know, the more you appreciate it. And that's part of being a kid. When you're that young, you're not supposed to know. And that's part of what makes
it. No, special. That's
so, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's that song that, you know, the best day of my life. I mean, every day back then was the best day of your life. And then you grew up. And then you found out every day is like the worst day of your life. Let's talk to Craig in Arkansas. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on. How about a Woo Pig Sue? We had Hottie Tottie. We need Woo Pig Sue.
Woo Pig? I've done the Woo Pig in Fayetteville. I can do it.
I think it's going to be a fun night. Hog 6-4. We're going to go to a final game tomorrow night. That's my prediction.
Well, I think, listen, I'm not a soothsayer, but I thought beforehand Arkansas looked like a team of destiny. Now everybody says Ole Miss is, but it's an amazing event tonight, considering – winner goes, Ole Miss wins, they go ahead and play Oklahoma for the championship, and otherwise it's one more game. Hey, thank you very, very much. Steve is in Fayetteville. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul, long-time listener, first-time caller here. Love your show. I'm fortunate enough to be sitting out here on my driveway with my wife and my father, who recently moved to Oregon, getting ready for the Razorback game. And I just want to remind everybody, we've got some great pitchers still left to go. Two All-American, freshman All-American, in Hagen Smith and Brady Tigert, who I don't think have pitched recently. And, hey, as my buddy Billy Ryan always likes to say, Ole Miss is due for a loss. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it really does come down to pitching, especially early on. But you guys enjoy the game. I mean, this is if you're a baseball fan, it's hard to imagine a more dramatic moment than tonight for Arkansas and equally for Ole Miss with a win. And have fun. Thanks for calling us. And we are heading to the final hour. Ari Wasserman will be joining us. We'll get his preview of what's happening in the upcoming college football season, who matters and who doesn't, and more of your phone calls.